Star jump sequence terminates, Captain.
Get the gravitational dampers online and open the blast shield.
Aye, sir.
Bring us in closer.
Aye, aye, sir. Moving us in on sublight drive.
Extreme magnification.
Aye, sir.
The center of the galaxy. And there's our black hole.
The experience of a lifetime, Captain.
Let me put this on audio. You should be able to hear the magnetic resonance.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. The edge of time and space, where the impossible can happen. Welcome to the event horizon.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whatever is relevant to the part of the world you are in. Indeed, welcome to the Event Horizon, where the impossible happens. Join us each week at this time as we delve into the worlds of science fiction, fantasy, and science fact in all their forms. I'm your host, Gene Turnbow.
And I am your other host, Susan Fox.
And with us is Pete Dune. No, Pete.
Oh, for pity's
Bune.
Sake.
You got it right the first time. You got it right the first time when we first signed
up. Yeah, well, yes. I got it right the first time. It's Pete Bune, B-U-N-E. Thank you for joining us on the show. We are here to talk about Deathgasm.
Yes, we're here to talk about Bune, Messiah, Children of Bune.
Yeah, so like I was saying when I first signed in, because Gene nailed it the first time. He said Bune. But I've been doing a bunch of these interviews to promote Deathgasm 1.5, and I had to introduce myself. I would often introduce myself as, like, Pete Bune, like Chicago Tribune, or Dune, or, like, you know, I would have to give examples. But, you know, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
So this is your, you're kind of new to comics, aren't you?
I am.
So tell us about how you, I mean, first of all, Deathgasm 2 is coming up.
Deathgasm is a two is was a movie. Deathgasm was a movie. Somewhere in between, there was some storytelling to get from one to the other, and Pete here has filled it in.
Deathgasm 1.5.
That's right. Yeah, 1.5 as in like the halfway point. Excuse me. So yeah, Deathgasm is a 2015 New Zealand-based horror comedy created by Jason Lee Howden. He comes from the visual effects world. He's worked with Peter Jackson. He's worked on the Hobbit movies, some Marvel movies, and even the Beatles documentary that Peter Jackson made for Disney Plus, which is amazing. It's like 6 hours long.
Good heavens!
I watched it all. I'm a
wow.
Deathgasm is a heavy metal based title, but you know I'm a Beatles head too. But yeah, so. This movie came out in 2015. It's a horror comedy kind of inspired by Peter Jackson's earlier works like Bad Taste or, gore splatter movies, kind of like stuff that I grew up in, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, those, you know, video store, like those VHS movies with tons of splatter and gore, but, comedy involved. And that's where Deathgasm comes from. That's where its roots lie.
So it's sort of self-aware and pokes fun at itself to a certain degree. And, you know, it's like it's over the top.
Absolutely.
By definition of its own genre. And, you know.
Precisely. Because, yeah, Deathgasm is the name of the band within the movie. They're a bunch of outsider heavy metal kids within this very conservative New Zealand suburb of Greypoint. And they find themselves because of their love for heavy metal. And what happens is they find sheet music called the Black Hymn, or what they think is sheet music. And they're like, let's play it. Let's see what happens. And they open up a portal for demons to
Because of course,
come out. You know, because of course that's what happens.
It's and like then, grandma reads a recipe from an old book and opens a portal to hell in her kitchen.
Yeah. Exactly. And, the fun ensues.
Then it would be Death Biscuits.
So of course they're the only ones that know what's going on, and they have to fight demons, fight their friends and family members and other townsfolk that become possessed to save their town, and through the love of heavy metal.
That is an awesome premise.
Also shows you the similarity between the U.S. and the NZ, because this could have taken place in Ohio just as easily.
That's right.
Change a little slang and you're right there, you know?
Just any, if you ever felt like an outsider, if you ever been bullied, you know, they wear corpse paint, they have long hair, they wear like, you know, they wear all black. So, you know, and heavy metal, you know, it's a very, I don't know, it's very, it's, there's certain parts of it are still very much popular, but like, I think the stuff that they listen to, you know, or their look is kind of like from the '80s or nineties, but,
back when there were hair bands.
Yes. So, but still they know how to fight. They know how to love. They know how to
have a good time.
They know how to have a good time. They know how to party and they like good music. So.
And they, and friendship, you know, you're having your best mate at your side while you're doing all that stuff.
Right. Best mate. That's how, that's what they say in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you find yourself, walking into the middle of Deathgasm and Deathgasm 2 at the intersection?
Right. Yeah. So I have to go back a few years now. I used to host a podcast called the Pitch a Movie Podcast around 2017, 2018. And that's how I met Jason Lee Howden. He was promoting his second feature film called Guns Akimbo, which starred Daniel Radcliffe, right? Of Harry
Potter.
Very,
very cool concept for a film.
Like a video game. It's like a video game.
Yeah, very much.
He's being hunted by, it's like a video game come to life where he's being hunted by bounty hunters, one being played by Samara Weaving and Hugo Weaving's niece.
Oh.
Going back to the New Zealand, Australia area. But yeah, so he was promoting Guns Akimbo and we just kind of, you know, we hit it off. You know, we both found that we loved, like I said, like the Sam Raimi Evil Dead movies, the splatter gore, horror of the early 90s. You know, the stuff that you were kind of like nervous about bringing home from Blockbuster.
Right.
You just kept in your bag. You didn't want your parents to see it. But yeah, but then you would watch it and be like the most colorful, the craziest stuff you've ever seen. So we kind of bonded over that. And then a few years after that, the pandemic happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of found ourselves at home, you know, trying to figure out what to do, how to entertain ourselves. And I met a comic writer named T.W. Conklin. And I just asked him, I was like, how do you do that? And he's like, I'll show you. And we started a title called Squatch Watch. And through Squatch Watch, which is about a celebrity Bigfoot, whereas Bigfoots are kind of known for hiding, our Bigfoot is known for wanting to be
in
famous.
The spotlight.
He's kind of like a...
That's hilarious.
What's the phrase? Like bull in a china shop? He's just kind of like... You know, it's a commentary on like celebrity culture, you know.
Okay.
And I showed it to him and he was impressed. Jason loved it. He praised it. And
it sounds
like man.
This Sasquatch wanted to be a big fat hairy deal.
He did. Dude, I think puns are a sign of intelligence. So all day you could say that. You could bring it all day, Gene. I'm down with it. Season's like, oh god,
I'm going. Oh, nice seeing you, bye.
I love puns. So yeah, and so Jason was he shared with me that he had ideas for Deathgasm comic that he's always wanted to do it, but yeah, it's been 5 years. At that point it was 5 years after the movie came out, so He had ideas for a comic that would bridge the story to a feature that he wanted to make, which was Gormageddon. And of course, being a fan, I'm like, yes, do it. I was like, absolutely, you should make this. And he was like, well, maybe we should make this. And I'm like, let's do it. And so to get started, because it was, like I said, we were all locked down. We were communicating through Instagram and Facebook messages and email and Zoom, like right now you're in California,
right,
you're in Los Angeles, I'm in New York. Like the one of the coolest things that came out of, well, like, this is a horrible thing to say, I guess, if there's anything that good that came out of the horrible things that came out of the pandemic was the technology. Like people are working remotely. And
oh yeah.
Look,
oh,
we're, yeah. We're talking to each other remotely.
That's an excellent point. And that's really true. I mean that movie, what was it, Raya and the Last Dragon? That film, the entire film was produced
Everyone was at home.
Yeah, everyone was at home.
Really?
The animators were at home. Everybody was at home.
Everybody telecommuted.
I mean,
and it worked.
That's amazing.
They made it work.
Yeah.
Nobody could go to the theater to see it.
No one has an excuse. There's no excuses anymore. No, you know, no. You could have. But the first thing that we did was we commissioned my Squatch Watch artist. His name is Industrious Lamanicana. Speaking of, remotely or long distance, he's from Argentina. So our artist is from Argentina.
Wow.
And he's in New Zealand and I'm in New York. So
he's definitely got that. We're looking at the pages here as we speak, and he's definitely got that EC Comics vibe to what.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
He's fantastic. Drawing style.
He did Squatch Watch too, so it's in that same style.
Okay. Well, we've got to look that up then.
I'll send it to you guys. So then, so the first thing we did was we commissioned Lamanicana to mock up Deathgasm fighting Peter Jackson's Bad Taste, the aliens from Bad Taste, his 80s movie Bad Taste.
Uh-huh.
And we were just like, once he got it to us, we're like, this works. This absolutely works. And
I sense a light bulb moment coming here.
I've been saying, like, you can't just talk about it and you can't just, like, wish that things that you want to make come true. You kind of have to take the first step. You know, you got to make your own luck, right? So that's what we did. We were like, let's see, instead of talking about what it could be, this comic could be, let's see what it could look like. And what we saw was like, wow, this is something I would read, right? This is something I would be proud of. And Jason had the ideas, like his first thing was, let me get it to Peter Jackson, because he was working at Weta, Peter Jackson's a busy guy, so we kind of like, we it never got to him, because we did want to have that cameo of, you know, Bad Taste is like his first film, and then he went on to make Meet the Feeble. Well, he went on to make King Kong and Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, but his origin, his roots lie within those horror comedies, those splatter gore horrors that he made.
Would not have known that given his most recent filmography.
Yeah, I would not have known that. He doesn't discuss it in interviews exactly, does he? But IMDb has it all laid out for you.
My favorite of his is Dead Alive, or it's called Brain Dead in New Zealand, but Dead Alive, I think is a masterpiece or a disaster piece. It's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece of comedy and splatter and colorful, bloody gore. You know, I don't know if your listeners are into that, but maybe.
A lot of them are. A big chunk of our listeners are into that.
And whether they admit it or not, you know.
It's one thing to have the physical revulsion aspect, but if you do it a certain way, you know, and it's just over the top, you know, it's like, oh, hand in a blender. Oh, let's see how they do this one.
I mean, another inspiration for the comic was Robert Rodriguez's From Dusk Till Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
We referenced that a lot. And, you know, the popularity of the recent movie Sinners just shows you that people are into horror with a lot of splatter.
With other elements too to keep it interesting, you know. Sinners was not your average splatter film.
Yeah.
Well, Sinners had an actual story, which is There's some actual filmmaking going on there.
Well, yeah, but there's also
Brilliant filmmaking.
But it just took it out of the culture. I mean, you couldn't just replace Sinners into, you know, white bread Ohio either.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Okay? Yeah, exactly.
It made people research or people that weren't really familiar with the culture. I'm sure black people were like, oh my God, now I see our history on screen, which is amazing, right?
Our staff writer on matters African American was absolutely thrilled. He was very pleased.
Yeah, Thaddeus Howes, the Answer Man, one of the most brilliant writers I have ever met personally. By the way, he's written something like 6,000 articles. He's published 4 books.
That's prolific.
Anyway,
really something.
But Sinners, he was into that. And yeah. And it comes to video, or it comes to streaming any minute now, I think.
I got it.
Well, of course you do.
Oh, of course you do.
I mean, no, it's out. It's out. It's out already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I bought it immediately. But yeah, just going back to how this got started. Yeah, Jason and I our plans were to release it independently.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing Squatch Watch independently. And what happened was he crowdfunded the sequel to the movie, which is called Deathgasm 2 Gormageddon. He successfully crowdfunded Gormageddon. And through that, Raven Banner and Bitbot Media, mm-hmm. he said there's a comic aspect to this available too. And so Bitbot Media, Josh Viola at Bitbot was like, let's check it out. Let's bring it on and let's crowdfund it. And that's where we are. And it's an 80-page graphic novel. It's beautifully put together. Yeah, that's where we are. We have a week left in our Kickstarter campaign, and we've reached our goals, but still.
Oh, and then some.
Got to get your hands on it. You got to get your hands on it.
Let's see. What have we got here for a current
pledge
value? Your original goal was $6,660. I like the number. And right now.
I know, right?
And right now, you're standing at $28,851 with a week to go.
Yeah.
Somehow, I think you're going to make your... you're going to make your goal. Your basic goal is in the bag, even if you have people backing out, which sometimes happens.
Yeah, some of the upper echelons or perks are still available. But I did kind of have my eye on that guitar, but...
$4,000 is maybe a little rich for our blood. Yeah.
You look
that's really big fans.
Yeah, I'm a guitar player as well. I don't play metal, but I would learn if I won that guitar.
Yeah, it's called the Death Wing.
The Death Wing, I believe. Yeah, and it looks like
it's a flying V from hell.
It looks like a weapon.
Yeah, it does.
Don't drop it, for God's sake. You cut a toe off.
Oh yeah, yeah. It looks like a battle axe.
The Deathgasm guys are—they're kind of known for improvised weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
battling demons with whatever they could find.
And that happens a lot in this book, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. But woo.
Yeah. It's I don't think we could talk about what kind of weapons they use on air. It's like I said, it's whatever they could find, right?
Yeah,
so,
well, you find what you find.
Yeah.
And so within this Kickstarter campaign, they also have a video game available.
Oh, ho.
I saw that too, and there's two trailers. There's one for Deathgasm 1.5, the comic book, which mm-hmm. shows you some of the marvelous art and the hijinks and hilarity. Excuse me a moment.
Cough button.
And for the graphic novel, and then there's another one for the 8-bit retro side scroller, and it's fantastic. And what, like, one of the bosses is the Pope.
Yep, it's the Pope. It's the Pope. So you could play, like you said, it's an 8-bit side scroller, uh-huh. And you play as the characters Brody, Medina, and Zach, which are the main characters, which is Deathgasm. It's kind of funny.
I looked at the gameplay, and it's it's possible to do a side scroller and really screw up the gameplay and the physics, you know, by mm-hmm. not understanding this format and how these things are supposed to work. But your developers have nailed it. I mean, this is just perfection.
Yeah, shout out to Freak Zone. They make they make video games for titles that you wouldn't think would get video games. One of their titles is for Manos Hand of Fate.
Oh no!
By a reaction that you are familiar with, look that up. So if you guys are Mystery Science Theater 3000 fans, you guys are familiar with Mano's Hand of Fate. And so now I'm thinking, just by your both of you reacted at the same time, you're like, why is there a video game for that? And Deathgasm has like the 8-bit chiptune music. And so if you watched Mano's Hand of Fate, you know that what's that character? Torgo.
Yeah. Master has, like, wouldn't
that,
like
yeah,
this.
He has that theme song. He kind of has the song that kind of plays over and over again. Yeah, there's a chiptune version of that within the Mano's video game. So these guys, freaks, they have a sense of humor.
That's
they
awesome. Have a That's great.
Fantastic sense of humor.
I've got to look this up now.
You're giving us homework.
Is it on Steam, or do you know where to get
it? We'll look it up.
It's, Steam.
Okay, then. I'm definitely looking that up. So they did a great job. So the Kickstarter pays for, is the game done? Or?
Yeah, everything is done. Pretty much the Kickstarter works as a merch store.
Okay, because I did notice that you've got like tons and tons and tons of merch.
Tons of merch. Josh Viola, I think his whole thing is that he wants to get it into the hands of the actual fans of Deathgasm.
Right, yeah.
You could put it in the stores and it could just sit there forever. People aren't really going to stores, right? But if there is a merch store, and if it has a kind of campaign, kind of like a, you know, a push behind it, you know, it draws attention to the title that people weren't aware of,
especially on Kickstarter. I mean, if you want to spotlight your stuff and have a singular online event, Kickstarter is the way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hands down.
Yeah, it's a great strategy. It's a great strategy what they're doing at Bitbot Media.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And it'll fund the next comic book and the next and the next game and the next whatever it is that you write.
Yeah, exactly. I've learned a lot doing this. So
what is next for your writing?
I want to get a couple of issues of Squatch Watch completed before we release it, because it takes such a so Industrious Lamont Akana, who's worked on both. He's kind of a traditional artist where he's still doing hand drawn, so it takes a long time. So we have to get I have to find like five of him, you know.
The trouble is, if you find five of them, you have to find five of them who can all draw in the same style, and that's
right.
That's right. Even more expensive, and you might as well, you know, just stick with the one guy and wait.
Yeah. So at that point, we'll see. I like I said, I've been learning a lot on this project, and I'd like to utilize some of the things I've learned doing this into my other projects.
It sounds like you've got a great running head start. This is this is really well produced. Just every piece of it is so well produced and so clean. And
it's funny because it's such a blasphemous content for the content, where it is very kind of like immature.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, but if EC Comics had been drawn, you know, with the computer tools, it would look just like this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of funny that it is being well produced, and the content, like, you know, I think it's ironic that what they're producing perfectly is something that's almost very, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it without.
I think the word you're looking for.
Because I do want people to, like. Cause it is. It's the comedy is very immature.
I think the word you're looking for is counterculture.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the.
But it's 60, 70 year old counterculture. I mean, it's been there all along. And
yeah.
There's the music that your uncles and aunts want to burn.
There is a.
And it was the cultural revolution from. You know, 40 years ago.
Well, you know, and they wanted aspect. To the record burning. It was Beatles once, okay, and we love the Beatles.
We do. There is a part of this story where the townspeople are burning records. They're burning heavy metal albums. They're censoring. You know,
They're the villains.
The culture.
they're the villains more than the devils are.
So yeah, Deathgasm comes back. Deathgasm comes back to their hometown and sees kind of like the effects of what happened from their mistake of bringing demons out. Is that, yeah, people in power are blaming the younger people. They're blaming the music that they listen to. They're blaming the content, the movies and the music and, you know, the books that they're reading. And they're burning it. And the character of Medina is kind of fighting against that.
And
she plays a bigger part in the, the comic book.
That's a classic trope. It's a classic trope.
Yeah, and killing off your every drummer that comes your way is a trope too.
Oh, you got that far.
Spinal Tap, and now you're annihilating the drummers and the bass players, and that's what worries me.
The rhythm section, the bass players,
you're gone, man.
Yeah,
you can't drop the beat if there's no beat to drop.
Right, the backbone of the band.
Yeah,
seems to be the most. Yeah, they seem to be the most.
They don't get the girls or the.
Yeah,
boys.
They're the ones that gets killed off most of the time in these things.
I don't know why they don't get the dates. I mean, they can keep up a rhythm. All I'm saying.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not touching that with a 5-foot pole. Oh wait, did I say that on the air? Oh my god.
5-foot pole?
Anyway, moving right along. this whole thing just is the thing that I note is that in the original time period in which Deathgasm was released, this was counterculture stuff and it didn't necessarily get the production values that you're able to apply to it now. In the original, it would have been printed on pulp paper. Some of it might have been on black and white, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's what you have done has elevated the whole thing to high art.
Well, you don't have to have inkers and things. I mean, you're not, you know, they're drawing it on computers, so.
Well, they still have to ink it. It's just digital ink, that's all.
I feel it has a different look than if it was on, you know, mm-hmm. brighter colors and, you know, background that isn't like made of sawdust.
I say get it digitally. You know, get it in your hands, read it, but I would recommend owning a physical copy of it because it's just packaged so beautifully.
It is.
There's different versions of the packaging, different variant covers.
There is nothing like having the physical thing in your hand.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
I'm not going to touch that with a 5-foot pole. Sorry.
5-foot tall pole, way too much, just saying.
I'm putting the poles away.
Yeah, nobody listens to them anyway. Anyway.
It's kind of funny, like, Deathgasm, Jason explains that in his hometown of New Zealand, Deathgasm wasn't very popular. It wasn't like there is no cult following. So when he assembled the team back together, they're like, really? Okay, sure. But there is a small cult following in America.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that did find it. The ones that, like, it did get around on all of the horror websites that I follow.
Yeah.
That's how I discovered it, like Joe Blow or any other, like, movie websites that I read. They were showing the trailer. And I was like, I need to illegally get my hands on this. I need to download this and then illegally share it with my friends because it looks
not
like
something that we would advocate such a position. Watch. No, we've never done that.
This is 2015. It's a different. That was 10 years ago. Now I buy everything.
That was back when Napster was still going.
Oh my god.
Oh, get me. Never mind. We'd have done it in 2015. Get real.
But then if it was Napster era, the title would be Deathgasm, but you would download it and you'd get like You've Got Mail or something by accident. Like someone would put the wrong title on it.
Well, it's probably safer than the other way around.
You know what? I'll watch You've Got Mail, but then I still have to find the real version of Deathgasm.
Yeah. So this is...
So we've got a week to throw money at you. and get all the hoodies and the guitars and the hardback and the variant covers and all the good stuff. So,
and there is so much cool stuff in this Kickstarter. I mean,
there's a mask. Yeah. There's
those masks.
They're beautiful.
It's realistic. They're like realistic looking high quality latex mask of the characters of Brody, Zach, and Aeloth, who's the demon, the main demon that they battle. Yeah, so he kind of looks like Satan.
And there's CDs and T-shirts and all kinds of crap in there. Mm-hmm.
It's the best crap.
Oh yeah, it's like you were saying, Pete. It's an online store that just centers around this creative cultural event, if I dare go so far as to call it that.
But the interesting thing is that for 10 years there's been nothing Deathgasm. It's been a desert of Deathgasm for like 10 years, and all of a sudden in 2025 you got a graphic novel, a video game, and a second feature. You've got a follow-up sequel to it.
Well, I think it came around again, you know.
I think the core of it is that people are recognizing what its cultural roots are, and it's easier to connect the dots when you can see them from a distance.
And it's not like death metal went away. if the press releases I get, you know, in my mailbox are any indication, it's bigger than ever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you don't even have to be into death metal. You don't
it
necessarily.
Helps.
It helps. It helps. If you're a fan, then you'll get the references. But you don't have to be. I think you could watch the movie. I think you could read the graphic novel, and you just kind of like you attach yourself to these characters. Like I said, they are bullied. They are outcast. They are made fun of. Like if you watch the trailer, they're attacked by super soakers filled with pee. You know, like they're Dungeons and Dragons nerds, pretty much, who just like super soakers
full of holy water. That would work.
Well, that's, you know, that's something that you battle demons with, but you know, the jocks and the bullies, they'll fill it with human pee to the Dungeons and Dragons playing nerds.
Yeah. Well, for anybody who's been oppressed by the culture around them, for anybody who has nostalgia for what heavy metal was like back in the 80s, for anybody who loves EC Comics, Deathgasm 1.5 is for you. Pete, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Event Horizon here on sci-fi.radio. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. And thanks for anyone who contributes. Thank you to your listeners. If you are interested in checking out Deathgasm, it's on Peacock. It's streaming on Peacock. So check that out.
And the Kickstarter is still running as we speak, with 1 week to go. And we encourage you to go check that out, too, and buy some merch.
You have been listening to episode 287 of Sci-Fi.Radio's weekly production of The Event Horizon for July 5th, 2025. Our guest this evening has been Pete Brune, the writer of the new graphic novel Deathgasm 1.5, which tells the story of what happens between the original Deathgasm feature film and its sequel, Deathgasm 2, Gormageddon. There is also an 8-bit retro side-scroller video game to go along with it. This show will air again tomorrow, July 6th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on the upcoming Thursday and Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern. After all of the airtimes have passed, you will find this episode and others on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbay FM, Pandora, Stitcher, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and on our own website at sci-fi.radio. If you enjoy the programming you have just heard, please consider visiting patreon.com/sci-fi-radio and becoming a patron of the station. We are listener-supported sci-fi and fantasy fandom radio, and your contributions go to paying our DJs, our production team, the writers for our Geek News website, our business operation fees, our music licensing, and much more. We have been broadcasting continuously since 2009, and we are grateful for the support of listeners just like you. That URL is again patreon.com/scifiradio. Go there today. This episode is copyright 2025 by Krypton Media Group Incorporated. The Event Horizon on sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.